Om Ajnana Dhimarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pango Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamahang Vande Sri Gurun Dina Tarinam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathang Vithang Thang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vithangscha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhadati Shapadantikam Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Govartase Nama He Krishna Kuruna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Himavadivyachchavisundaraya Tasmai Mahaprema Rasa Pradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Yes, Prabhu.
Dandavat
yes,
Maharaj. Today we have a question from Ophir B. Yavit. And he's asking...
Well, this is a summary of his question.
This is not the exact wording.
It's a summary.
Summary of his question. In consideration of the present world pandemic and the material world in general, why does God allow suffering?
So we have to first understand the position of God, divinity, Krishna, and our present circumstance. Krishna is happiness personified, right? Anandamurti, Anandam Brahmano Vidvan, Anandamayo Vyasat. Repeatedly, the word Anandam or ecstasy, happiness, is used. So he is happiness. He is happiness personified. If we turn away from him, right, being seduced by the satanic mania of, you know, serve in heaven, would you rather serve in heaven or reign in hell? If we are seduced by that prospect, and bayandatiya binibeshitat syat, ishadapetasya biparya yoshmati, we want to turn away and from the land of dedication and enter the land of exploitation. So we're turning away from happiness personified and entering a world that is absent happiness. Right? It is not sat, chit, anandam, or eternal existence, full cognizance and happiness, but asat, achit, and nirananda. It's temporary, full of ignorance, and varieties of miserable or suffering conditions. So that's our present situation. Right? So as if you were in a desert to complain that there's a lack of water, right, is not to... is to be in denial about the very place you're in, right? And within that context, to be repeatedly seduced by mirage of oasis, right? In the form of the mirage, the illusion of solutions to this condition, right? So, the Krishna world is full of happiness, right? Infinite happiness, eternal existence, full knowledge, and complete happiness. And Satyam Shivam Sundaram, truth, auspiciousness, and beauty. But lest we think that Krishna is, forgotten about us, or is unaware of our position, that is also a misconception. There is never a moment when he is unaware of our situation or forgetful of us. Right? We have the, in Bhagavad Gita, right? Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriddeshe urjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantri rudrani mayaya. He says, I'm situated in the heart of every living being. Not only human civilization, and the heart of every living being. Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam, even in the atoms. He's everywhere. And so nothing is unknown to him. But in his aspect as Paramatma, or the super soul, he is impartial, like the sun. Sunlight is everywhere. The sunlight provides illumination for the lotus. It's shining on the lotus. It's shining on a pile of stool. He's present in all situations. But upadrastanumantacha bharta bhokta maheshwara paramatmeti chapyakto dehesmen purushapara. His position is tantamount to being neutral, impartial, non-judgmental, right? But accompanying every living being at every step of the way and inspiring them, giving suggestion, impartial, but giving, why impartial? To not interfere with the free will of the jiva. Right? And Jiva Dharma, when Thakur poses the question that if someone says, if he knew we had the potential for misusing this free will, why would he give it to us? Then make us without free will. Well, then you're no different than a stone if there's no choice. Guru Maharaj liked to give the example when Gandhi was pushing for Indian independence. And at one point, the response from the British was, you're not fit for self-government. Right? You may misuse that and do wrong. To which Guru Maharaj says that Gandhi replied, freedom means the right to do wrong. Right? So the Paramatma is neutral in the sense to not interfere with the free will of the jiva. At the same time, you can say sending suggestions through conscience. Right. And it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam and in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam, the chapter Prabhupada called The Spiritual Masters. Out of infinite kindness and causeless mercy, he descends into this world. It says, acharya chaitya vapusa. Means internally, chaitya guru, the inner guide, and externally as the acharya or spiritual master, the guide, Sri Guru. Right? We may not be able to discern the voice of the inner guide over our own wants, desires, impositions. So he's saying he's always there as the inner guide, but externally as the outer guide, Sri Guru. Besides that, we're told in the Bhagavatam, he has innumerable incarnations. How numerous? Like the waves of the ocean. Repeatedly, avatars are descending into this plane to rescue fallen souls. Who opted to reign in hell, as it were, to try and become the Lord of all I survey, what David Foster Wallace called our tiny skull-sized kingdoms. And who is it, Shelley? Ozymandias puts this sort of mania in contact. He says, I met a traveler from an ancient land who saw something most peculiar. He found out in the desert sand a broken statue. Of an ancient monarch, a monarch from long ago. And he said the sculptor must have been very adept to capture. He said, "You see that the face of that king." He said, "Because the face, the head is lying in the sand, tilted. It's what do you call it? The other part of the statue? Pediment. That's the bust. Put.
Pediment. I don't know. Basement."
The base. It's broken away. The legs are there with an inscription, but the head's lying in the sand. And he said, he must have known him well and sculpted him well. The arrogant sneer that was upon that face in the sand. And he reads the inscription at the base of the statue and says, "I am Ozymandias, King of kings, look upon my kingdom, ye mighty in despair." He said, "But as you look around, all you see is endless desert sand." So that kingdom, whatever it may have been at one time, vanished from this world. So trying to establish ourselves here as the monarch of all I survey, the Lord of all I survey. Is a foolish and ludicrous proposal. But what do we hear in the pages of the Bhagavatam to give us some insight about how it is the soul in its original position comes to navigate the world of exploitation? Right? Shakespeare, Bhagavatam, Shakespeare, Eliot, you know, between the idea and reality falls the shadow. Shakespeare, out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow. Srila Guru Maharaj, Chidabhas, Chayabhas, that the chit soul must have some interim state, like an interface, to navigate the material world. He calls it Chayabhas, Chidabhas, a shadow representation of the soul, of the self. The Bhagavatam gives the example of the moon reflecting on a pool of water. Yata jale chandramasa kampadis tatkrito guna. So the moon is situated in one place and it is reflecting through illumination. It's reflecting on a pool of water. Kampadi, kampa means trembling, quivering, wavering. So the reflection that you see on the water is with the quivering of the water it's becoming distorted. Right? But actually, the moon is situated in one place, unaffected by that. It's the reflection that is subjected to apparently, seemingly being distorted. So the Vedas say, asangohyayam purusha. Right? The soul is never actually associated with, contaminated by, corrupted by the modes of material nature. Right? Like that moon, it's not actually subjected to the conditions of the reflection. It's a similar situation. Chaitanya Charitamritam says, dvaite badra badra gyan sab manodharm e bal e mandu e sab brahm. That the duality of this world, is that something is auspicious, inauspicious, good, bad, a bal, a man, whether it's saying this is good, this is bad, it's all manodharma, means a dream. It's a dreamlike situation. Right? The cognitive scientists, Donald Hoffman gives the example of the computer interface. What your the desktop, you see a folder, there's no folder there. It's an icon, it's a representation. Really, if you trace everything back to its original source, it'll be consciousness. Guru Maharaj says in, with his concept of subjective evolution, that the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. But what we're being, there are competing narratives. The majority of propaganda favors is the concept that the material world is more or less infinite. We hear a trillion, trillion stars in the known universe. And then one planet, the Earth planet, sustains life and conscious beings and the conscious elite, which are human beings. So that means the objective aspect is virtually infinite. Now as we go toward the subjective, the conscious plane, it is very limited. And of those conscious beings who can hear, taste, touch, smell, feel, their consciousness enables them to feel. If they get lucky, on a good day, if they get lucky, they will experience a drop of happiness. So in this scenario, happiness is minuscule, or the most finite. Then consciousness, somewhat greater than that, but what is vast is the objective world. The Vedic understanding is just the opposite of that. And that's good news for us. We're being told, anandam, happiness, ecstasy, that is the ultimate substance. Back to what we said originally, Krishna is Anandamurti, he is happiness personified. The infinite is happiness personified. Right? Then there is consciousness, and within consciousness, a cluster of subjective concepts makes an object. So the whole material world, the whole objective world is like an iceberg floating in an ocean of consciousness. So repeatedly, in various ways, we're told not to try and take a stand on this plane. So normally, I don't like to read on camera, but there are some things that Srila Guru Maharaj said, I extracted from my notes. I'd like to read them here. And I think they'll be helpful for us to understand the present circumstance and context. He says, how hateful is this environment we are living in? And we want to extend our empire here, this nasty land. We are busy to extend our empire, our kingdom. This is foolish. Find out a happy soil for your soul to live there. That is reality, and this is all imaginary. Jive Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas. When Sanatan Goswami asked Mahaprabhu, Kayami Kanyama Jari Tapitroi, Iha Nahi Jani Kamoni Hitohoi, who am I? Why am I suffering from the threefold miseries? Adi Atmik, Adi Bhotik, Adi Devik. Self-inflicted miseries, miseries from other living beings, and natural disturbances. He's saying, who am I? Why am I suffering in this way? If I do not know this, how can I know what is beneficial for me? And interesting, Mahaprabhu's first answer is, hey, Jive, the swarup of the Jiva, the original form, spiritual form of the Jiva, the eternal spiritual form of every soul is Krishna Das, eternally. That is your eternal situation. But we've turned away from that. That is suppressed, right? And are in this dreamlike existence of it's not only reflection, but we're told in the pages of Gita, a perverted reflection, right? And what is the exact, urdhva mulamada sakam? Where do you see this? Saying, a tree that has its roots upward and its branches downward on the bank of a river, a reflection, upside down and backwards. And he says, so, Jive Swarupai Krishnara Nityadas, a particle we are. Mam eva ansa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, ansas, parts of Krishna, the finite, the infinitesimal complementary part of the infinite. In connection with the whole, a particle can have backing of the whole force if in an affectionate connection. The particle may be supported by the infinite if it is in a happy relationship with the infinite. That is the most desirable position for every one of us. Merge yourself wholly in his interest. Then you will be happy. Even the most acute type of atheist wants happiness. Anandam, happiness, is more graphic, more extensive. The most comprehensive thing is anandam, happiness. Materially, we think anandam is the smallest, consciousness more spacious. And matter infinite, but just the opposite is true. Then he says, he begins talking about the mortal world and the concept of die to live. Death means not only the physical, but mental death, and the death of all our ambitious aspirations. Death's jurisdiction is so much, so die to live. Living is also wonderful living. Living is also a wonderful, strange thing in comparison with the present living. That is, living along with the all good, the all high, all divine, all superior. How happy that life is. Wherever I am breathing, everything is of a higher quality than myself. How happy, how elevating. And on this point, we should not impose our limited view of the limited upon the unconditional existence of the unlimited. When we think what is objectionable in this world and apply it to the spiritual world, right? It is not a vitiated plane. Right? We're told in Charitamrita, Vaikuntha prithivyadi sakala chinmoy, the whole spiritual world is comprised not only of consciousness, but consciousness enriched with the highest sort of dedicating tendency. That means chinmoy, saying from the ground up, what to speak of the superior souls and the divine servitors traversing that plane in loving service to the Lord of love, Krishna. Right? So we should not think that that plane, the loving relationships of that world are like the same relationships that we find in the world of exploitation. The rule of thumb in the world of exploitation, whether it's Darwinian survival of the fittest, or in the words of the Bhagavatam, jivo jiva shijivanam, one living being lives by exploiting another, right? Thrives at the expense of another. The spiritual world is the land of dedication, where one living being lives by serving another. So he says, wherever I am breathing, everything is of a higher quality than my own self. How happy, how elevating. But have we got such courage, such boldness to live there, to die a wholesale death, to die a wholesale death of all our experienced life, to be severed from all of the valuable things that we have gathered experience of? Is it possible for us? Not so easy. All the ideals, high ideals we've ever accumulated or come in association to, all to be given up. Not only our physical acquisition, but mental acquisition, mental prospects, all we've ever acquired, give up. Dissolution of the whole mind, body, only soul, naked soul to be taken to that land. With the help of so many saints of that caliber, stranger than dream, reality is stranger than dream, fiction. Our standard of prospect should be raised so high. Then he says, it will all vanish, the whole solar system, the concrete solar system of your thinking. That will go nowhere one day. I also know, you also admit that. So there is time. We've got the opportunity to find out some other soil where to go and take our permanent residence. We are in search for that. And we are given assurance that it is a permanent and very happy soil. And we can trace within you also a portion of that. Atma. We can eliminate the world, the senses, then mind, then wisdom. And above wisdom, there is some light, spark of knowledge, divine spark. And we are told that you are that spark. Ascharj bhad pasati kashtadeinam. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, if you would have a glimpse of your soul and its actual reality potential, its prospect, you would be astonished. The source of the spark is above your head. That is the land, that is the soil for which you are meant to live, a very sweet soil to live in. Krishna says, none will come to push you down from there, none nivartante. But here within this circle, going up, down, according to action, going up and down, dying, dying, dying. Janma mrityu juravyadi dukha doshanu darshanam. Real intelligence can detect all these defects of this life. So what is this? Birth, death, old age, disease. Since the beginning of time in this world, no one has been able to eliminate these miseries from material existence. Right? Whatever situation when we're at present, it is not actually something new. It is the constant condition of material existence. Right. What is the saying in the Bible? What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Then ahara nidraya baya maitunam cha. Ahara, to relish food, nidra, to sleep, enjoy sleep, baya, apprehension from all sides, some injury, some harm may come to me in some form. Maitun, the biological imperative, reproduction. This is always in the animal circle. Even in the tree it is to be found. But in human species, you can search for your home, your sweet home. So try to find out the means how to reach your sweet home. This is permanent, the sweet home, which is permanent, sat, chit, full of consciousness, knowledge, anandam, and has got its fulfillment. Meantime, here, in a search for fulfillment, we are trying to acquire, control, and consume that which is lower than us, right? As a means of fulfillment, satisfaction, right? Adopting the position of a consumer. Right? And we're told this is the root cause of suffering. Hridrogam, heart disease, not physical heart disease, but core consciousness heart. To think that through exploitation I will realize my potential as opposed to dedication. I am the monarch of all I survey. And if I can't be, I don't want anything. I don't want to be small. I am the biggest. That is, humanism. It's which I think is a consequence of Mayavad. Right? What is humanism? Promoting this idea that man is the center and the measure of all existence. Right? We see it, the playwright Henry Miller, when asked about the position of theater in the modern world, whether or not it was important. Remember, previously they said poets are the arbiters of reality. Right? So we're quoting Shakespeare, Shelley, and others. But in time, the playwrights, they became important. But then when they were asking him the position of a playwright in the modern world, he said, modern people don't get their cues from, poets and playwrights, or, spiritual thinkers, philosophers. He said, where do they take their cues from? Advertising. Right? They're being bombarded constantly with humanistic sloganeering, or advertising in the form of humanistic sloganeering, such as, MasterCard, master the possibilities. Visa, it's everywhere you want to be. L'Oreal, because I'm worth it. Weight Watchers, total indulgence, zero guilt. Right, so it's appealing to the lowest aspect of ourselves. What is the promise of the internet and its commercial aspect? Total access and acquisition of all things at all times for everyone. Think about that. Its promise is total acquisition to all things at all times for everyone. Again, that I will find fulfillment by acquiring, controlling, and consuming things that are lower than my actual conscious self. Right? Then Guru Maharaj continues. So this is a suicidal civilization. The whole civilization is rotten to the bottom. They're exploiting nature for the apparent good of human society, but it is incurring a loan from nature that must be paid to the farthing with interest. Because they do not believe this, they will have no relief. They will be forced to clear the debt. Nature won't forgive them. Nature is there like a computer, calculating. So this civilization is anti-civilization. The whole thing is rotten, a camouflage, a treachery to the soul world. But our policy is different, plain living and high thinking. The great thinker and most credible voice in, you could say, New Age thinking, also coined the phrase, making of a counterculture, Theodore Rozsák, he wrote a book called Where the Wasteland Ends. We know that T.S. Eliot wrote a poem called The Wasteland. He also wrote another poem called The Hollow Men, of which the last line is, this is the way the world ends, not with a bang, but with a whimper. We know Gatsby, Fitzgerald's Gatsby, has The Valley of Ashes. So the thematically, this image keeps reoccurring in serious literature. And so Theodore Rozsák, perhaps 30 years ago, he said, what is the looming environmental crisis before us? But, an example, he said, it is external erosion that is the consequence of inner erosion. So just to try and reconfigure the objective world through science or technology, that thing, we will eliminate exploitation or the tendency of people to abuse others, to exploit others. We will eliminate inequality, injustice through science. We can say, oh, we will, through genetic engineering and modification, we can design people in such a way that they will operate within the parameters that are acceptable to the members of our committee. Right. You understand? There was another group who had an ambitious policy similar to that called the National Socialist Party. External erosion is the consequence of inner erosion, a lack of inner development, being outwardly directed. So Guru Maharaj concludes, our policy should be to make the best use of a bad bargain. Somehow or other, we've already come here. So now we have to utilize our time and our energy in such a way that with the least exploitation, we can get out of this world. Hare Krishna. He also says, you know, there's a saying, God save us from our enemies. But this is, God save us from our friends. Our charm for this material world of enjoyment should vanish. That is the trouble. To save us from the friends, that is the question. We love them. That is the enemy within. The enemy is within. That I've got attraction. I love this paraphernalia. I like them. This is the enemy. Every action, reaction, exploitation, jivo, jivascha, jivanam, to keep up one body thousands of bodies are to be sacrificed, then only one body can stand. This is the filthy conception of life. It is suicidal in itself. This is no civilization, no life, a hateful aspect of life. At the cost of other beings, we are to maintain us. Wherever we shall go to maintain, thousands of lives will be sacrificed for that. A hateful conception of life. It says, be desperate for giving yourself, and you will be a gainer also within that line. Give and have. Hare Krishna. Any other question?
Yes, Maharaj, we have a few questions, and maybe just a simple one from Gupta Govardhan. How to stop just being in love with Krishna and start loving him?
When in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Veda Vyas, we're told, is in his ashram on the banks of the Saraswati and despondent. This is the great Veda Vyas who has, you know, compiled the Vedas, Puranas, and Mahabharata, which includes Bhagavad Gita, so many. In essence, his gift is religion to the world. And he's feeling despondent. In a sense, this is one of the opening scenes of the Bhagavatam. And the prelude to the appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. And we're told that Nard Muni comes upon the scene. And Narada begins by chastising Vedavyas, the great Vedavyas, who in some context may even be seen, you know, as an avatar, Shaktivesh avatar. So a Shaktivesh avatar is being chastised. That's something to get your head around. But, and what does Narada tell him? Jugupsite dharma kritanushasana, krite anushasata. You know what's the reason you're feeling this way is? He said, and again, these are Guru Maharaj's words. He said, because you're a traitor to the cause. I go, what? The great Veda Vyas? How can that be said about him? We've got, everything has been given. All the religious books of the world, the original religious books of the world, come from him. And then he can, it's really Narada's Bhagavatam in 10 slokas or so. But he's telling them, and what jugupsitam means, what is this most condemnable thing that you've done? Is, you know, dharma krite, you gave the world religion. Because remember, in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says, dharma projita kaita bhotra paramo nirmat saranam satam. Kaitava dharma, cheating religion, religion with ulterior motive and purpose, will not be found in the pages of the Bhagavatam. And what Narada is telling Vyas, although it was not your intention, inadvertently, you're giving people the sanction to be somewhat religious and go on living in this world. To think that, but if I'm religious, I can have a happy material life. Then who will want mukti or to be liberated from material bondage? They say, no, you can be religious and have a happy life. in all of its aspects. Right? Back to Auden. We are composed of eros and das. So we are always trying to figure out how to deal with the erotic tendency, eros. So Bishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Prabhupada quotes him saying that in his parsing of Janmadyasyataha, the first sloka of the Bhagavatam, which appears in Vedanta, but is then fully expressed in the first, appears as a sutra in Vedanta, and comes again, but with full expression in the first sloka of the Bhagavatam, Janmadyasyayatonvayad. Itartascha arteshu abhigya swarat. Vishnu says, here, this janma, janmadi, yes, it means that is a reference to adirasa, saying everything is springing from the adirasa, the mukya rasa, the principal rasa, madhura rasa, the eros aspect of divinity. Everything is springing from that. It's not something that exists separately, and by analysis, you can say that. But it's saying, if you trace it all the way back, you'll see that everything is coming from that plane. It is the mukya, the root of all. It, as in Guru Maharaj's words, the... What did he say? All the other rasas are clients or satellites of Madhura rasa. So it's very revealing for him to say this. Right? And it's the very nature of Krishna and his supreme pastimes. And what do we hear in the beginning of the Brahma Sanghita? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karanam. That the Parameshwara, the supreme controller, is Krishna. And Krishna is not some abstract, impersonal substance, force, but Satchit Ananda Vigraha. He has form from which all other forms have come from. Personality. He is eternal. Omnipotent and full of happiness and ecstasy. He's happiness personified. Anandamurti. Then what? Anadir Adir Govinda. The original of the original is Govinda. And that again is an allusion to sensuousness, sensory fulfillment. Right? Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, feeling. So why do we say these things? Because Narada is telling Vyas that although it was inadvertent, people have got the impression from you that the only plane where you can express yourself sensuously, and not just the erotic, all the sensuous expression, but including eros, is this world. And that the spiritual world, this abstract, has no possibility for sensuous expression. So then, of course, this is so innate to the position of the soul. Saraswati Thakur says, Sanyal quotes him in the erotic principle and unalloyed devotion, that to remove this aspect from the jivas, it's concomitant to their existence. It would be to remove their existence. So without sensing that prospect in the serve in heaven, then they'll always want to reign in hell, right? But with religious guidelines. So Prabhupada says in his purport, he said, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur says, so Mayavadis denying the personality of Godhead and his sensuous capacity are indirectly giving impetus to mundane sexuality because people think, I can't live without that, and that this is the only world where that's a possibility. Right? So Narada is telling Vyas, you have to express the full range of sensuous possibility and of the full spectral range of loving relationship that's possible with Krishna. Therefore, but it's such a sensitive point and inconceivable and so likely to be misunderstood or misconceived. The Bhagavatam is 12 cantos. It spends 9 cantos. Right? What is that in math? That would be 9, you know, if you did 3, what's the percentage? 9 out of 12. 9 twelves, but there's a percent. Anyway. So, in other words, it's 18,000 slokas. 9 cantos of prerequisite to enter into before the birth of Krishna. And 90 chapters approximately in the 10th canto, 30 before you get to Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis, his Madhura Rasa pastimes. 9 cantos prerequisite to the birth of Krishna, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvataha. Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti maam eti sorjana. If you can understand, ajopi san avi atma bhutana nishro. If you can understand how the unborn is born, has lila, pastimes of birth, and karma, activities, pastimes, lila. If you can understand the divine nature of these things, then after giving up this body, you won't have to take birth again in conditional existence. You'll enter the Krishna world. So, Narada is telling Vyas, this you must describe. And we mentioned the other day when Sukadeva Goswami, who's a Brahmavadi, but he's been certified as not having a trace amount of male gaze or exploiting tendency within him. Is parinistitobi nargunya uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajar se akyanam yadaditavan. When I heard about the amorous pastimes of Krishna with Radharani and Braja Gopis, my heart and soul, my whole existence was captured and carried away to another domain that I did not know existed previously. So Narada is telling Vyas, you have to get explicit about that world. The prospect of a life of love with Krishna, right? Shantarasa, Dasyarasa, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhura, right? Svakya, Parakya, right? Muktir Hitmanyata Rupam, Swaropena Vibhastiti. Right? What is the... Here we heard from Mahavu saying the swarup of the jiva is eternally Krishna Das. But that's a general thing. What type of Krishna Das? Friend, parent, lover. What type of Krishna Das? Radha Dasi, Radha Dasyam. So, if we don't systematically approach Krishna conception as it's presented in the pages of the Bhagavatam, as it is revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Krishna conception will take the superficial aspects of Krishna consciousness as the wallpaper of our lives. It will be shallow or superficial. If by the word love, we equate that with prem, that is a very high stage. Rupa Goswami says, what? Adau Shraddha, Tata Saru Sangha, Tabajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav, Prem. It is a very high, it is the highest achievement. So it would be more appropriate to say, under the guidance of Guru and Vaishnav, Sadhu Shastra Guru and Vaishnav, we're trying, by their grace may awaken our loving tendency or affectionate tendency toward Krishna. We believe in them. We take shelter in them. As Saraswati Thakur said, Krishna-loving people. Our approach is, if I can get the service of a Krishna-loving person, through that service, that loving tendency can be transferred to me. It's not something we're going to do independently or cultivate in isolation. But it is our natural innate position. And as Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, perhaps echoing the verse, Krishna Prema, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhu Kabunoi, Shravanadi Sudhatite, Koriye Udoi. Said our natural love for Krishna is at present being pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter. That's why we're telling earlier, Hridrogam. Right. So this has to be approached systematically. So see how cautious is Veda Vyas. 9 cantos prerequisite to enter into a proper conception of the pastimes of Krishna. But by service and association with those who have love and affection for Krishna, that will be transferred to the heart of the servitor. We know that when, and really this is the purpose of Krishna centers, ashrams, temples around the world, is to give this sort of exposure and this opportunity. Right. Other thought, dharma kswanustita pungsang visvakshena katasuya notpadaye jadiritim srama eva he kevalam. Now Veda Vyas converted by Narada to this new approach, saying dharma, if it does, whatever you're doing, however right it may appear to be, if it doesn't, note pariyad yadi ritim, vasudeva katavra, if it doesn't awaken some appreciation or taste for hearing about Krishna, you're wasting your time. And that's what he says, is the criterion. So we need to broadcast Krishna Katha, right? And centers for broadcasting Krishna Katha. So when Srila Guru Maharaj, to establish a center in Madras, he was told to go to one government department where they had some surplus funds that would be available for the construction of the temple. And much to his surprise and chagrin, when he arrived, the general, that former officer had been replaced by a new man, and he said, I'll tell you straight, if there are any surplus funds, it's not going to be used for making a temple. We will use it in some humanitarian work. Right? feeding people, clothing people, giving shelter, that sort of thing. And Guru Maharaj was, I guess in his words, nonplussed. And he thought he didn't want to return to the mat empty-handed. So he prayed internally to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur for some help, some inspiration, what to say in this situation. And it's peculiar what came to him and how to use it. But after Sukadev has presented the pastimes, the sweet Madhura Rasa pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Braja Gopis, the sages are dumbstruck and astonished. Because why? They're thinking, you told us in the beginning, you know, jugupsitam dharma kriti, the condemnable thing is religion. And now we are to understand that the new religion is the condemnable thing, right? The amorous pastimes of divinity. He's saying, so it's one thing, as Guru Maharaj put it, he said, for you to tell us that God is human-like. Right? He's like a man. Krishnera jateka kela sarvatam naralila narvapu tahara swarup gopavesh venukar navakishor narabar naralila hoyanarup. That divine form is the template for human form. Right? The supreme entity is human-like in dimension. The extremes of the infinite, you know, anoranyan mahato mahyan, brahman paramatma, all accommodating, all greater than the greatest brahman, all permeating, all smaller than the smallest paramatma. And you're telling us the central conception of the infinite, the golden mean of the infinite, is human-like with personality, reality, the beautiful, the Lord of love, charm, sweetness, beauty, Satchitananda Vigraha. But now you're telling us, not only is he like a man, but like an immoral man. That is too much. I'm sorry. And that's when Sukadev says, no, no, try and understand. I mean, Parikshit Maharaj is actually, sees the look on their faces. And he asked the question to allow Sukadev to clarify. And he says, Mahadev drank an ocean of poison, right? What was the consequence? His neck turned blue. Implying, for those who are non-Ishvara, those who are not qualified to try and enter into the confidential, esoteric aspect of these pastimes, it could be like poison. It will be harmful to them. The dhira, they have to be qualified. When Mahaprabhu said, I'm going to dance in Devi Bhav and Advaita and Srivas, and the audience can only be members whose senses are completely under control. Advaita and Srivas Thakur, Mahavishnu and Nard Muni said, we're not qualified. We won't be able to attend the performance. Mahaprabhu was saying, if you, the two of you can't come, then the place is going to be empty. But that is their humility. Mahavishnu, Sadashiva, Advaita Charja, I'm not qualified. If the qualification is that your senses must be controlled, then I won't be qualified to view, hear, observe, narrate these things. Same thing from Narad Muni, Srivas Thakur, Narada, who just chastised Vedavyas, that Narada. Right? That is their mood. And what does Mahaprabhu say? All right, see, their humility is heartbreaking and overwhelming. He said, all right, I'm going to give you a special benediction that during the duration of that performance, your senses will be under control. And Advaita's, all right, yes. So Sukadev cautioning them, right? And as, at this point, I feel to mention the, and that Shiva, where was that? The churning of the milk oceans by the devatas and the asuras. Right? Ostensibly in search of immortality. Right? Mrityu means death. Amrita means nectar, but also means deathless. So whether, and it's interesting, it's still true to this day, whether atheist or theist on a lower level, they understand that we're living in the world of mortality, right? It will vanish. Whether from a theistic perspective or an atheistic perspective, a scientific point of view, the world will vanish. It has an expiration date. So what to do? So on the one side, you have the Google guys saying, download yourself into a robot made out of diamonds. And on the other side, you have the theists saying, break your attachment to this world and learn to live and aspire and live in the world of your faith. But you have the asuras and the sura, the devatas, churning the Mandara mountain on the back of the Kurma avatar, right? The Kheer Sagar, the milk ocean, trying to achieve nectar. So we ostensibly the story says they're trying, they want the nectar pot that ends up in the hands of Mohini Murti so that they can have immortality, not have to deal with mortality, the inevitable problem facing everyone here. Right? But then this sounds so basic and generic. And I was thinking, why would something like that be in the pages of the Bhagavatam? A book that is culminates in the expression of Madhura Rasa, pastimes of Krishna, has a section promoting generic off-the-shelf immortality? Cannot be. But I could not answer that. But I submitted to Guru Maharaj, I could not understand. Particularly when this sloka, referencing that pastime which appears in the 8th canto, a sloka in the last chapter of the 12th canto, the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, referencing that pastime. Prishte brahmyata manda mandara giri gravagya kandu, you know, nidralo kamatakritir, etc. So, why? And Srila Guru Maharaj said to me, what was the object of their churning? Was to achieve amrita. The reason this is included in the Bhagavatam is to, because the Bhagavatam reveals the ultimate nectarine substance is Madhura Rasa. And that's why it is included there. And note, who's generated from the milk ocean? Lakshmi Devi. Right? Mahalakshmi. See, the moon comes out. So we can understand there may be some loving exchange because, you know, from the moon of the Chandra Vangsha, Yadu Vangsha, the Chandra Vangsha, and goddess Sri, Jai Sri. Right? So when Parikshit Maharaj seen the apprehension of the sages, having heard about these most confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Brajagopis, gives Sukadeva the opportunity to tell them, to give them the necessary cautions. He says, Vikriditam Brajabhuduridam cha Vishnu. These sort of pastimes of Krishna with the Brajabhudu, Badu, that means the Brajagopis. He said, Vikriditam Brajabhuduridam cha Vishnu. Here, he chooses not to call him as Krishna. It's clearly Krishna. So why does he now say Vishnu? To say, in this context, Vishnu means divinity, and it's more conventionally understood by them. So he's saying, these aren't the pastimes of an ordinary man. Don't mistake the aprakrita lila of Krishna, the human-like pastimes of Krishna, to be like that of an ordinary man or man and woman of this world. Saying, Shraddhan Vato Anusrinayad Varnayedyad. And this can only be understood through the culture of faith, under the guidance of proper Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnav. Then, Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdhikamam. Hrid Roga Mashu Api Hinoti Achirena Dhira. Only for those who have achieved the stage of dhira, means they're beyond mundane sense disturbance. Even James Joyce in the, what is it? Portrait of a Young Artist? I think that's the title. When the two students are walking in Dublin, and one says that on the subject of aesthetic beauty, when is it real aesthetic beauty? Like in the case of eroticism, he said, there will be no mundane response to that sort of exposure. It doesn't awaken if it is truly aesthetic beauty. So for those who are unqualified to hear these sort of confidential pastimes and get a mundane reaction disqualifies them and is an offense to divinity. He said, first has to be cured that rid rogam, that heart disease, right? Consumerism, to acquire control and consume. And then, so Guru Maharaj is using this sloka to appeal to this man. And then he gives two examples that are startling. And he says, in consideration of the transmigration of the soul through different species. He says, when I was in the body of a stool-eating pig, I ate hills of stool, and that hunger was not satisfied. When I was in the body of an elephant, I ate jungles, and that hunger was not satisfied. So what will satisfy the inner necessity of the heart, right, which is hankering ultimately not for something to consume, but to utterly give itself to in dedication. Right? That is what is presented in Krishna conception. Right? And through the Mahajans are compared to lighthouses that show the pathway. Their footprints show the pathway to cross over the ocean of nescience to the land of dedication. So he's saying the real cause of suffering is this inner heart disease. And the cure for that is hearing about Krishna and his divine pastimes. So we want to make an ashram to cure that heart disease that everyone is suffering from. And he said, the man began to cry and said, Swamiji, I believe in God. And Guru Maharaj said, your tears are the evidence of that. And then he gave a contribution to the building of the Madras Gaudiya Math. Hare Krishna. So proper Krishna conception under the guidance of Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, and Vaishnava. Hare Krishna. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajaka Charja Satara Satya Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sandarju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Rupa Nuga Guru Varga Ki Jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath. Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Navadeep Dham Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai. Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai. Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Pad Vishpa Varanya Sri Lesi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mata Charja Brinda Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Bimalabhadut Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Srila Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai. Seva Brinda Ki Jai. Soma Veda Bhakti Brinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Primanande.
Ramishan Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.